Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
I'm going to insert the announcements here, so this is kind of the pre-service with that. Thank you for delaying the service for a half hour. We even left the service at St. Paul early to be here with you. So thank you for understanding the rushness as far as pulling all that together. It's certainly our prayer that the Lord will bless you as we together celebrate the greatest victory that this world has ever known, Jesus' victory over sin, death, and the devil. Well, this is indeed a great day, many things to celebrate, but what unites us, even with all our differences, is that Jesus has suffered, died, and brought us together as brothers and sisters in Christ. So, I will turn this over to the vicar.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Christ has risen from the dead. God the Father has crowned him. He has made him ruler over the works of his hands.
He has put everything under his feet.
Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Let us confess our sins to God, our merciful Father. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Maker of all things, Judge of all people, we admit and confess our sins. We have turned away from you in our speaking and our doing and thinking. We have done that which you forbid and have not done the good you demand. We do repent and are truly sorry for our sins. Have mercy on us, Father, because of the resurrection victory of our Lord Jesus. Forgive us all sins of the past and present, and with the power of the Holy Spirit, move us to serve you faithfully in the future.
Set our feet on the new path of life, and build your kingdom here through our resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
God has promised forgiveness of sins to those who repent and turn to him. This forgiveness is assured us by the empty tomb of our Lord, and in whose stead I, as a called and ordained servant of the Lord, forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, you overcame death and opened to us the gate of everlasting life. We humbly pray that we may live before you in righteousness and purity forever, through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated for our choir anthem.
Yeah.
Our first reading for this Easter Sunday comes from Isaiah chapter 65. Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy, and her people to be a gladness. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. No more shall be heard in it the sound of weeping and the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not fill out his days. For the young man shall die 100 years old, and the sinner 100 years old shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be. And my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity. For they shall be the offspring of the blessed of the Lord, and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall graze together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all of people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own end. Order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom of God, the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. On the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated for our children's message. Well, hi, Barrett. Hi, Violet. How are you guys today?
Good.
You guys have Sunday school this morning? I know. Okay, okay. Did you enjoy the meal? Good. Now, what is today? You guys know.
Easter.
It's Easter, right? So remember last weekend, what did we talk about?
Palm Sunday,
and you guys shared some special music with us on Palm Sunday. And so what was Jesus doing Palm Sunday that makes Easter so special? What is he preparing for?
He rode to Jerusalem.
Yeah, he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. And why was he in Jerusalem? Do you remember?
Because he knew that's where the temple was, and that was where he was going to have the Last Supper.
Yeah, he's going to have the Last Supper. And what does he do the Friday after the Last Supper?
Pharisees and Sadducees caught him.
Yeah, they caught him. And so On Maundy Thursday, they capture him, and then they take him on Good Friday. And what happens on Good Friday? Yeah, right, he's crucified and he dies.
Because he said, it is finished.
He says on the cross, it is finished. And that's what we're celebrating today, is that Jesus said, it is finished on the cross. And that meant all of our sins are forgiven. But today we remember Jesus rising from the dead, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what does that give us?
Joy.
Joy, yeah, a lot of joy. Because we have eternal life with him, and he's going to raise us too. Because you guys have talked about baptism before, that you guys were baptized. Well, Paul talks about being baptized into a death like Jesus, but also baptized into a resurrection like his. And so you're going to be raised with Jesus on the last day because you have faith in him. And that's our hope today, is we get to talk about Jesus being raised from the dead, and that he didn't stay in the tomb. And so Good Friday led all the way here to Easter.
And now...
He rose from the dead, right? And that's why we say he is risen. What do we say after that?
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Right, right. So we say alleluia because it's a great praise for Jesus. So why don't we join a quick prayer together? Does that sound okay? Okay, repeat after me. Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
We give thanks for Easter.
We give thanks for Easter.
That you died on the cross. But you did not stay in the tomb.
But you did not stay in the tomb.
And that is our hope.
And that is our hope.
That we will rise again with you.
That we will rise again with you.
All of this we pray in your name.
Amen.
Amen.
All
right, you guys can go back to your seats. Thanks for coming up. Oh, right, your song. Go ahead and sing your song.
Rejoice, Lord, all.
Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Well, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's message as we celebrate Christ's victory is taken from that gospel lesson that Vicar read just a few moments ago. Special emphasis on the 5th and 6th verse, but we're kind of looking at the whole deal there from the 24th chapter of Luke's account of the gospel, where once again it reads, "But the men," they're talking about angels there, "said to them," the women, "why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee." This is our text. Please be seated. In the name of the resurrected Jesus, amen. And again, I just can't get enough of that because this day is just so awesome. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. I have to tell you, you guys are awesome. I mean, I love the enthusiasm that you have when you say that, and it is something that we certainly should be excited about. And as we turn our attention to Luke's gospel today, 24th chapter, we see that he tells us that very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, that some women were going to the tomb of Jesus and they were carrying spices. I think it's helpful for us to understand and realize that these women who were going to the tomb on that day, that they were grieving. These women, they were going to the tomb that day expecting to see nothing but death. These women who were going to the tomb that day, their hearts were filled with nothing really but hopelessness. However, once they got to the tomb, they encountered something far different than they ever anticipated or even dreamed that would be possible. They experienced an empty tomb. They saw these angels in dazzling white like they had never seen before. And they heard the message that changed everything. He is not here. He is risen. And you know, it's really kind of fascinating that what began as an act of mourning by these women really turned out to be the first proclamation of the Easter gospel message. The stone had been rolled away, not so much, and we've heard this before, not so much so that Jesus could get out, but more so that others could get in and see that Jesus had indeed been in fact raised from the dead and see it for themselves. And you see, that resurrection of Jesus was not just a stunning miracle for all of us to marvel at. It was really a earth-shaking event of power whose impact is still lasting throughout the world, leaving ripples yet today. For you see, that resurrection, it is constantly transforming lives, it is conquering fear and empowering we who are God's people yet today. And today, it's kind of an awesome day as we gather together with churches all around the world and we celebrate that Easter is not really just a past event, but that it is a present power that we experience yet today. Luke's account of the gospel in chapter 24, it doesn't just tell us that that Jesus rose from the dead, but it shows us how Jesus' resurrection really empowers us. It empowers us not to live in fear, but in faith. It empowers us not to wallow around in hesitation and hopelessness, but rather to move forward each day with a great deal of confidence and hopefulness. It empowers us not to continually dwell in our doubts and anxieties, but to boldly proclaim that Easter message of Jesus' victory over sin and the grave for us, so that we are to share this news boldly, even when others, not unlike the disciples when they first heard of the news, thought that what the women had to share with them was nothing but an idle tale. And so, as we dig just a little bit deeper in Luke's account of the resurrection story, we find that the resurrection of Jesus really empowers our faith. Even though there are times we know that our faith can indeed be challenged, the resurrection, it really re-energizes us and reawakens that faith that the Holy Spirit has planted into each of our hearts. Think about it. The women who went to the tomb on that particular day, they were faithful followers of Jesus. They were loyal disciples to Jesus. They were going there to the tomb to honor Jesus' death by putting these spices upon his body. They were never, ever expecting to see life and to find life. But when they found the stone rolled away, when they found that the tomb was empty, instead of rejoicing, they were perplexed. And when the angel said, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." We can see that that spark of faith began to reawaken and rekindle in their lives. The angels encouraged them, said, "Remember how he told you when he was with you." And then Luke adds that then they remembered his words. You see, that is how faith works. So often do we not walk in grief, in disappointment, in hopelessness with all the different things that are going on in our lives, with the challenges. And in the process, we tend to forget those promises that God has given us, especially when things are not going the way that we hoped that they would or the way that we planned that they would. But the resurrection brings those promises back to the forefront. It awakens our trust in those promises that are just scattered throughout the pages of Holy Scripture. And before the first Easter, they shouldn't have been surprised. Jesus told all of his disciples, all of his followers, that all of this stuff was going to happen. He told them about his suffering. He told them about his death. He told them that he would rise again on the third day. And yet it took an angel after the resurrection to bring those words to life in their hearts. They just couldn't see it. And in the process, how often do we likewise forget the words that Jesus has told us? How often does fear in our lives drown out the faith that we've been given? How often do the circumstances that we are wrestling with and dealing with end up crushing our confidence? If we're honest, we have to admit that it is so easy to allow these different situations and circumstances that we are experiencing in our lives to prevent us from clearly seeing how God is working in us and through us and how he's really working for us as well. Friends, that's some of the great news that is found in the Easter story. With the resurrection of Jesus. For you see, that is the story that empowers us to forge ahead each and every day with a confidence that we would not have in and of ourselves, knowing that our victory has been secured and that we are going into each day, not alone, but he's with us each and every step of the way, every single day. And from that, we can conclude that God's word is trustworthy. It assures us that Jesus is indeed who he says that he is. That the cross is not seen as a symbol of defeat, but yet a sign of victory. And the empty tomb proves that. See, faith is not really believing all of the evidence that has been compiled so we can see for ourselves, yes, this makes sense. But rather, faith is trusting in the one who is faithful. And another way to look at it is that the resurrection is really our anchor. It's what keeps us grounded when the world around us is in all kinds of turmoil. Christ keeps connected to us and keeps that faith alive. When we are confused, when we are hurting, when we're overwhelmed by the different circumstances that take place in our lives, especially when it seems like we have more questions than answers, the resurrection reminds us that Jesus is indeed alive, that he has, in fact, conquered sin and death, and that all of his promises are true. And in the same way, the resurrection empowers our hope. Now, let's look back at the disciples. They had hoped that Jesus was going to be the Messiah, the one who was going to deliver the children of Israel from all kinds of problems. And the problem was that the cross kind of dashed all their hopes for a little while anyways. And we all know what it's like to have our hope crushed, don't we? We all know what it is like as it seems at times that life throws one disappointment, one challenge, one difficulty at us, one right after the next. We know loved ones who wrestle with illnesses, and maybe we ourselves have wrestled with those illnesses. We've experienced betrayal by some of those people who are closest to us, those trusted confidants, and they betray us, they stab us in the back, and challenges arise. We know what it's like to lose a loved one and how difficult it is when they are no longer there with us. We struggle with those different sins that we wrestle with privately. And sometimes just the weight of the world's sinfulness, it almost seems like it's too much to bear. All of these can seem like the hope that we have, the hope that we should have, is just buried away and sealed in the tomb. However, Easter morning changes that story. The resurrection of Jesus empowers hope within us once again. It's not, and I'm not just talking about some wishful thinking, kind of like Cleveland hoping that one day the baseball team will win the World Series. That just isn't going to happen. But we're talking about a living, breathing, eternal hope that is grounded in the reality of Jesus' victory over death. And again, don't misunderstand me. Hope is not ignoring reality. But hope is seeing reality through the lens of the resurrection. We all know that suffering is real. We all know that pain is real. We all know that hardships are real. But so is the empty tomb. Because Jesus rose, death is not the end of the story. Because Jesus lives, we know that love has the final word. Because he conquered the grave, we are assured of victorious resurrection as well. As St. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, that great resurrection chapter in 1 Corinthians, said, if Christ had not been raised, your faith would be futile. But Christ has indeed been raised from the grave. And that, my friends, is our hope. Not some vague spiritual feeling that is out there from something like that, but we're talking about a bodily resurrection that points to our own future is going to be secured in Jesus. He empowers us to begin to live differently right now. We no longer need to live in fear of death. We don't need to allow pessimism to be the driving force behind each and every day and every approach we take to everything. Rather, we are free to rejoice, free to love, free to risk, free to give generously, because our hope is not in the things of this world, but our hope is in the resurrected Jesus. Think back to when the women, they ran from that tomb. They ran from that tomb with joy, really becoming the first evangelists of the resurrection. But what happened next is both sad and yet encouraging at the same time. Not sure if you caught it or not when Vicar read it. It says that those women, they went and told the 11 apostles what they had seen and what they had heard. And Luke writes, but these words seemed to them as an idle tale, and they did not believe them. Even Jesus' closest confidants and friends, they did not believe at first. The message of the resurrection, it almost seemed like nonsense to them. And sadly, that's true for far too many in our world today. The idea of a man raising from the dead and never dying again, that seems like foolishness to many in this world in which we live. However, the women shared the message anyway, even knowing that challenges may come because of what they had seen, because of what they had heard, because of what they had experienced. They had been empowered by the resurrection. And then after that, we see something amazing take place, that even though they initially were uncertain, seemed like foolishness to them, Peter, after hearing the report, that spark of faith began to rekindle again. He ran to the tomb and he saw the linen cloths there by themselves, and he went home marveling. The spark of faith had been lit, and soon the resurrected Jesus would appear to all of his disciples, and then they would then take that message and would change the world forever. Friends, we are empowered by that same resurrection. Like the women of the tomb, we are called then to go and tell. We may face disbelief. We may face some ridicule from people around us. There may be even some people out there, no big deal, and see it as a little bit of indifference there. But our calling remains the same, to bear witness of the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Our witnesses, when we go out, you don't have to have all the answers. Sometimes we're afraid to say anything because we don't know it all, and that's okay. But what you are to do is to share what you have seen, what you have heard, and what you have experienced. It's all about pointing people to the one who conquered death. It's about living the life that has been shaped by the resurrection, lives that have become full of compassion, of love, of forgiveness and joy, that testify the truth about Jesus. Friends, the resurrection of Jesus is not just a happy ending that is found at the end of the Gospels. It's really a beginning of new reality. The tomb is empty. Death is defeated. Christ is risen. And because he lives, we then are empowered. We're empowered to believe again when doubts begin to cloud our hearts. We are empowered to hope again when the world around us seems like it is so dark. We are empowered to speak and live as witnesses to this life. So this Easter, may the resurrection not just be a story that we recall and remember, but rather that it becomes a power that we live in. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that is at work in all of us. As you leave this place, know that you go not alone. You go not powerless, and you go not defeated, but you go and knowing that you are loved by a living Savior, that you have been called to live a faith that is found in Jesus, and you are to be filled with that living hope that is found in Jesus and him alone. So go, live boldly, love deeply, serve gladly, speak freely. The tomb is empty, and the King, our King, is alive. In Jesus' name, amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Alleluia. Amen. Well, thank you once again for being here today as we celebrate this victory of Jesus. And it is in that common faith, you may remain seated as we join together in saying the Easter Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, who sent his Son to be our Savior. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, becoming sin for us. He was crucified for our sins, died for our sins, and was laid into the grave. He descended into hell to announce the victory over sin, death, and the devil. On Easter morning, he victoriously rose again from the grave, giving us eternal life. Alleluia. I believe in the Holy Spirit, who brought me to faith in the Christ of Easter, and by whose continuous work in my heart, I am ever led to praise the risen Christ as King of my life, both now and forever. Amen.
We continue now with our offering and for a special musical selection. Dear Lord Jesus, we pray that your blessings will rest upon these gifts that have been given on this day, so that they may be used to grow your kingdom and build your church, so that the good news of your resurrection can indeed be heard by all those in the surrounding areas. In your name we pray. Amen. We rise for prayer.
Let us pray. Father in heaven, on this Easter we give thanks that you have given us great joy and hope, knowing that your Son, Jesus Christ, was raised from the dead, and so too we will rise with him in a resurrection like his. Make that hope be ours forever throughout this Eastertide and the rest of our lives. For the whole congregation, O Lord, we give thanks. Bless their time in worship, and we pray especially for Zion through this vacancy, that they might be upheld and strengthened, and that if it be your will, in the coming days, we find good word on whether or not we will receive a vicar in the coming year, so that way they will continue to help fill this vacancy. Lord, we also pray for all those who are sick or struggling with long-term afflictions. We especially pray for Dwayne, Alice, Margaret, Bernetta, Bill, Gary, Bryceton, Joe, Kim, Andrew, Brandy, Maverick, Heather, Gary, Michael, Ray, Chelsea, Norma, Ron, Holly, Betty, Leo, and Mary Assel. Lord, grant them comfort in this time and also give them strength and faith in knowing that you will give them comfort and peace in the coming time. We also pray for this nation, O Lord, that you would give us peace, that you would guide all in authority, guarding their hearts and minds so that your word might be supported and defended. We especially pray for our President Donald, that all in authority might guard and protect your word to the best of their abilities and support all the things that you have given us to do as your people. All of this, Lord, we sum up in the prayer which your Son taught us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The same way also after supper, he took the cup, and when he supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you. Amen.
Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy.
Precious blood, strengthen you and preserve you in true faith to life everlasting. As you have come, now go in his peace and his love and be assured of that forgiveness which is yours. Amen. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again.
Death no longer has dominion over him.
For if we have been united with him in a death like his,
we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his.
Receive now the benediction, the blessing of our God. May the risen Christ go with you. May he go before you to show you the way, behind you to encourage you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You can conclude with our final hymn, Alleluia, Alleluia, Hearts to Heaven.